This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Budget debates, rallying teachers, and so much more during what really was a tragic week in the state. Here to help us digest some of it are Rob Schofield from the Progressive NC Policy Watch and Becky Gray with the conservative John Locke Foundation. Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, guys.
House lawmakers have approved their state spending plan for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. Still relatively early in this overall process, we're going to get a Senate plan, then a deal between the chambers, and following an expected veto from the governor, a compromise of some sort, we think, in 2019. This House proposal, nearly $24 billion in total, includes average 4.6% raises for teachers. However, no additional pay for educators with 15 years of experience or less. Also, the raises would come for teachers and state employees 6 months later than usual, an interesting note. There are, within this massive budget documents, tax cuts or reductions, a provision to discourage future teacher rallies, and so much more. From each of you, well, from Rob, one thing you like in this budget, and Becky, one thing you dislike. Rob.
Wow. I mean, it's good, I guess, that some people are getting raises, but the overall take on the budget is that it is still woefully inadequate. It remains well below what we were spending on inflation-adjusted dollars a decade ago. Indeed, the governor's proposal was below what we were spending a decade ago. There's so many areas that are shortchanged. Our 18 of our 24 largest allotments in public education are below pre-recession levels. The Democrats are rightfully making hay about the delay in the pay raise. There's a lot not to like, but at least, you know, I suppose it could have been worse. And there's actually been a little bit more process than in past years. I'll give them that.
Okay, I'm going to push you a little bit more. So you said raises. There's money for opiates in here. There's $31 million for the film industry. Is there any particular line item that jumped out at you and you said, oh, all right, I like that one?
Well, I said the raises for teachers. I mean, yeah, opiates, right. Spending on opiate is something that desperately needed, obviously. I like you and like a lot of people, we're still processing every detail in it, and I'm sure there are some one of the things I was struck by was how a lot of the amendments that were debated on the House floor were very narrow votes. I mean, of course, we know we have a more narrowly divided legislature these days, but it pointed out that a lot of this stuff is just really the first take on this. We're going to have a lot of negotiations. A lot of these individual programs are going to come in and out of the budget probably multiple times over the next weeks and months. So there's going to be a lot of, I'm sure once I dig into it in great detail, I'll find some things I like and a lot of things I don't.
Well, I think Rob is right. This is kind of the starting point. I mean, the governor had his proposal, of course, but with a strong Republican majority in both the House and the Senate, pretty much was dead on arrival. Plus, from the time the governor had his budget, we've gotten revenue numbers and some other things. So it really is a whole new ball game. This is the first go at it, if you will. So I think we will see some changes. And Jeff, you know, what I anticipate is the lawmakers will be listening to this podcast and the suggestions that Rob and I have, they will take into consideration. Okay. So, you know, we may see some of these changes in the budget come forward. But, you know, I think the teacher pay increases were good. The level of increase in spending was actually below, I think, or right at the growth in population plus inflation, which is a measure that a lot of economists use. And at the Locke Foundation, we've recommended to rein in that growth of government and use that number as a measure. I tell you one thing that I really did not like, and you made mention of this, Jeff, but it's the Film Incentive Grant Program, $31 million. That continues to increase. You know, we have lots of data, lots of numbers, what other states are doing. And, you know, it's a net money loser for North Carolina. Money should be spent in other ways other than giving it to, you know, Hollywood movie stars and moguls. There was an amendment on the floor just on Thursday afternoon before the second reading vote that would have taken that $31 million and put it towards water and wastewater resources. I was very disappointed that the vote on that, only 16 members voted in favor of taking the money away from incentives and putting it towards water infrastructure. I was surprised at that after the hurricane recovery efforts that we've had and those kind of things. That to me has been very disappointing in this budget discussion.
I caught the provision about the $31 million for film incentives largely in the Wilmington area and couldn't help but think of you knowing that you were going to say that if I asked this question, that you don't like the film incentives. Anything else that jumps out at you other than the film incentives, what's something else you didn't like?
I tell you, it's not whether I like it or not. I tell you one thing that concerns me, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, and it's just how the math works out when you have the two pieces of the budget, which is the revenue piece and the spending piece, and you have to keep those two balanced, not just the constitutional requirement that we have to have a balanced budget, but the revenue has to be there for the amount of spending. I would have liked to have seen the spending not at a 3.5%, but even like a 2% growth with some uncertainty in the economy that we have nationally, internationally, things like that happening. I'd like for North Carolina to rein that in a little bit further. The other thing that I was disappointed in or would have liked to have seen and hope to see this as we move through the budget process is more money be put towards the savings account, the reserve account. You know, they had built that up to over $2 billion as the economy has recovered, as we have additional revenue, and then they spent about $800 million mm-hmm. out of that, I think, for hurricane recovery. We need to build that back up because we know we're gonna have another storm.
I know Rob wants to get back in here, but I do want to ask you about just that figure. If there was only 2% growth in a budget, I think that it would be quite reasonable to say you're probably not gonna have raises for anyone. Would you be okay with that?
I would, yeah. I mean, I work at a think tank. I certainly would. I think that, you know, again, you have to keep the growth in government within reason with the revenue that you're bringing in. And the more money that you take out of the economy, the slower the economy is and the more things drag down. You know, what we've seen is this robust recovery in North Carolina's economy over the last 5, 6, 7 years that have resulted in being able to give these teacher pay increases and to have some of the other the savings that we've done and some of the other things that have occurred.
Well, obviously, the economy is not a robust recovery. It's a robust recovery in a handful of areas, but 50 counties in the state have fewer jobs than they had before the recession. Our state is an increasingly divided state in which large segments of our population are being left behind, and that's directly attributable to our disinvestment in essential public structures and services and the fact that government spending is at a 45-year low in North Carolina, and our school spending is down, our environmental protection spending is way down. We are shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're going to pay for this in the long run. That's really ultimately the big problem with this budget this year. It's got more tax cuts for business at a time when we can't even get schools back to where they were a decade ago, and that is going to bite us in the long run. We're going to regret having made these disinvestments.
Well, I think the tax structure as it has fallen out, and also, you know, Rob, don't forget, in this budget too, we've also got an increase in the standard deduction, so even more North Carolinians are not going to be paying any taxes at all.
No, that's just not right. They won't be paying income taxes, but they still pay a disproportionate share of their taxes total in sales taxes, excise taxes. It's going to just shift more burden onto the sales tax. We already have a situation where people at the bottom pay twice as much of their income in taxes as people at the top. The way that you give tax relief to people at the bottom is with an earned income tax credit. It's not with a standard deduction that applies to everybody. A lot of those people whom don't need a tax cut.
Well, I don't know who determines who needs a tax cut and who doesn't
the
need
wealthy
a tax
don't
cut.
Need it. When you have, don't need a tax
when
cut.
You, but when you have, and this is something that they've really focused on is over this tax reform that we've had over the last several years is the standard deduction and offering that relief for lower income North Carolinians. I think it's a way to go. It's working, and I think that they need to stay on the same path.
Hammering down in the weeds on this, but I want you to give to the listeners, Rob, what's the difference between the earned income tax credit and the standard deduction from your perspective? I mean, why is that not good enough?
An earned income tax credit is targeted. It is refundable. It actually goes to the people, the working families who have very low income, and they can actually get a refund for some of the sales taxes and other taxes they pay. Not only will they not pay income taxes, they'll get a refund for some of the other taxes they pay. As it stands right now in North Carolina, people at the bottom and the middle pay about 10% of their income in state and local taxes combined. Millionaires pay about 5.5%. If you can target relief to those people in the lower ends, you have a chance of lifting up the incomes of people who are, for the most part, the working poor. These are people who are working every day and don't earn a living income. They literally don't make enough to live a decent life in our society. Earned income tax credit, which is what several states have gone to, and which North Carolina actually had for a while, is a way of piggybacking on the very successful federal earned income tax credit, the thing that Ronald Reagan lauded as one of the best things that Congress ever did. And it's a much more targeted way of focusing a limited pot of revenue and getting it to the people who really need it.
With that as the backdrop, what is your opposition to it?
Well, I mean, we had an income tax right. in North Carolina for a number of years, and what the data showed was that it was such a small amount that it really did not do what Rob did and what I think intention of
it
was.
It should be larger.
But
the
state, when you increase the standard deduction, the group of taxpayers that don't pay any income tax, it captures everybody, and that's one of the benefits of doing it that way.
I'll only note before we move on that fees and increases have increased, no pun intended there, by more than $2 billion.
Yeah, look at what it costs to go to court these days. Yeah,
I'll just put that out there. I mean, as a way you talk about the revenue side.
Right,
that has become a bigger slice of the revenue pie, so to speak. Thousands of teachers gathered here at the legislature on Wednesday. They were marching for improved resources, better pay, and improved rural health through the expansion of Medicaid. What struck you most about the event, Becky?
I was down here all day. There were a lot of people. There were a lot of conversations that were going on. A couple of things that struck me was the official rally that they had. The governor was invited to speak to that. Treasurer Dale Falwell had asked to come and talk to the group about the state health plan and the concerns with the pension plan and those kind of things to address the group. He was told he was not welcome to speak. No one from the General Assembly was invited to speak. The leadership in the General Assembly was not invited to speak. So it seemed like a very exclusive and excluding kind of event. It also was organized by the NCAE, the union organizers. What they wanted, what the demands that they made for things seemed quite excessive, numbers that have been run on that. If you did all of those things, it would be in excess of $6 billion to hit to the state budget. And when you consider our budget is $24
billion. $6 billion.
$6 billion for Medicaid expansion.
No.
Yeah, no. When you take the five demands that the NCAE had, when you run the numbers, you can find that at johnlock.org.
It's all there.
That's what the total $6 billion. Yes.
Medicaid expansion brings in.
Medicaid expansion is one of the five demands.
Master's pay. I mean, that didn't cost
$15 an hour minimum wage, 5% increase, COLA increases for retired teachers, increasing counselors, school nurses, all of those good things. If you go to johnlock.org, it's all broken down. All the figures are there.
Well, obviously, the thing I was struck by was just the incredible spirit of the people who came. I mean, it's hard to come to Raleigh and be part of a lobby day. It's hot. There's no place to park. You got to walk a long way. You're with a big crowd. It's hard to know exactly where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. And yet these people were so, and we had a photo gallery on NC Policy Watch where you just saw the faces of these people and how dedicated they were. Because most of these teachers would tell us when our reporters interviewed them, I'm here for my kids. Pay raise would be nice, but what I'm here for is the fact that my kids, their families don't have health care. We don't have enough textbooks in our classroom. We don't have the school facilities we need to provide a decent public education system. And they're angry about it. They've had it. They've been putting up with this for a decade. And truth be told, our education system, education funding was inadequate a decade ago, but it's gotten appreciably worse over the last decade. And they've had it. And that's why thousands of people go to all that trouble, put themselves through an unpleasant day of standing out in the heat, no place to go eat. It was just an incredible spirit. It's the same spirit you get when you go into a classroom and you talk to teachers and you see how they have this sort of can-do, make-do out of nothing so many teachers pull off in our classrooms across the state. That same spirit was infectious. I sensed it in the crowd yesterday as well, or on Wednesday.
We have been doing this little experiment here with the two of you generally for, I honestly don't even remember if it's 2 years or 3 years now. I think
is
it's
it still
been,
an experiment?
I thought we did. It has been more than a successful experiment. Here's where I'm going to try to pivot to with this. These sides are not talking to each other. The NCAE and the leadership here, they don't talk to each other. Now, I can point the finger at Jewell, Mark Jewell, the head of the president of the NCAA. He, by his own admission, not even trying to meet with them. I can point the finger at Berger and Moore and say they're not inviting him. They didn't.
Well, I mean, the very first thing they did once taking power was to try to take away. I mean, it was their agenda from day one, right? Take things away from NCAA.
I'm not going to point fingers, only because I think you could, in theory, point them. We come together every week, the two of you. You disagree regularly.
Mm-hmm.
These sides, these entities, aren't even talking at this point. That strikes me as...
Well, here's how it's going to have to happen. Governor Cooper is going to talk to the Speaker Moore and President Pro Tem Berger. They're going to have to negotiate this budget. And that's where the real conversation is going to happen. It would be nice if lawmakers would meet with the various interest groups. I remember when the Democrats were running.
Lawmakers are meeting with the interest groups.
It works both ways, doesn't it? It'd be nice if Mark Jewell made more of a concerted effort to bring
sit down
and back channel this thing, or
they've got a thing that goes back years now. Obviously, I can't. I don't know the details of that.
Maybe that's my naivete and inexperience.
But you know, you define the problem. You know, why aren't people talking? And, you know, it's like everybody gets in their corner and nobody will give an inch. You know, just like all of the, you know, the rally this week, one thing that struck me, we were talking earlier about the things that really struck us. You know, there were a lot of signs, you know, some of them were kind of ludicrous. Like I saw signs where they wanted to defund the Pentagon. Well, we don't really do that here at the General Assembly. You know, and there were some things about socialism and, you know, all of that. But, you know, there was not one sign that said, thank you for raises for the last 5 years. There was not one sign that said...
Okay, but conversely, there was not one sign hanging in an office that said, thank you for educating my children.
Oh, there was a lot of those kind of signs.
From Republicans?
Yes, yes. I was walking up and down the halls. I was here.
Can you name a Republican who had a sign such as that hanging on? I believe you if you say it was him, but I didn't see one of those.
If you go on social media and go to Twitter feeds of members of the General Assembly, and, you know, just go to Republican members of the General Assembly, there are pictures posted all over with them meeting with teachers in their offices.
Hang on. We're splitting hairs. We're getting deep into the weeds here.
Were there
any Republican lawmakers who had pictures or signs up in their office supporting teachers?
You know, Jeb, I don't know that, but I wasn't looking for that.
I did not
get a feel in any place in this entire complex. And of course, we're recording here at the General Assembly. I'll mention that that there was a single that there was one bit of discouragement, that there was any kind of unwelcome anything to any groups of teachers. And as I talked to lawmakers, they would say, well, you know, I had a group stop by from my district, or there were some, granted, from further distances who said, you know, I haven't had a single person come by today. You know, I'm hoping to see some, planning to visit when I get back to my district. But that was universal. And again, you know, here, but let me just say just a little bit, pushback from the question. You know, that just feeds that. I mean, you know, well, what do Republicans do? Well, what did Democrats do? I mean, why can't we talk about the atmosphere in the building was, and this is from Republicans and Democrats. People had bottles of water outside their doors. They had, you know, different things that, you know, people did, but it was universal. There were Republicans and Democrats. I don't know. I didn't interview. I'm not a reporter. I didn't interview a lot of the teachers who were participating in the halls. I would be shocked if any of them said, I did not feel welcome here.
Well, you know, it's about policy. These are sort of interesting sort of human interest side stories about who got water and who was polite to who. That's all great. But what this is about public policy. The teachers of North Carolina know what the deal is. They're the ones who have to live it every day. They know that things have changed in this state, that they don't have the respect that they used to, that there's been a concerted effort to privatize public education. There's been a concerted effort to defund a vast array of essential parts of the education system. And they don't like it. They're speaking up for themselves, and they're not assuaged by a few pay raises for themselves, because they're here for more than that. They're here for the entire system, for preserving public education, and they rightfully sense that there's a threat to it. And that's why they come out in such large numbers.
Becky Gray, Senior Vice President at the John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield directs NC Policy Watch. Enjoy your weekend.
All right,
thanks, you too.